So good morning, everybody. It is Tuesday, October 25th, 2022, and the time is 11:02 a.m. This is the public rulemaking hearing for Washington Administrative Code WAC 458-20-23801, titled Watercraft Excise Tax, Watercraft Depreciation Schedule. My name is Brenton Madison, and I am a tax policy specialist with the Interpretations and Technical Advice Division within the Department of Revenue, and I am the facilitator for this hearing. Also in attendance from the Department of Revenue are Atif Aziz in his role as the department's rules coordinator, C.R. Crumbaker, a management analyst in the Interpretations and Technical Advice Division, who will be monitoring our recording equipment as this hearing is being recorded, and Ryan Beckling, tax policy specialist within the Interpretations and Technical Advice Division. Sierra will record the names and emails of those in attendance today, and we will use this information to make certain that you are notified of any further rulemaking activities with regard to the rule discussed in today's hearing. We are conducting this hearing telephonically, and we do not have other parties physically present for this hearing. At this time and for purposes of the record, if there are other parties, which there are, present for this hearing, we would appreciate it if you would identify yourself, who you are representing, and whether you will be testifying at today's hearing. So at this time, I'll just direct each of you. So Mark.
Hi, Mark Johnson, Senior Vice President, Policy and Government Affairs for the Washington Retail Association. We represent about 4,500 storefronts throughout the state of Washington and all 49 legislative districts, all 39 counties. One of the favorite sectors of the retail industry is the marine trade. And so we're very interested in what is being proposed, and we have a few suggestions on ways to improve that. So great to be here, and thank you.
Perfect. Paul.
Paul Sorensen, I'm principal with BST Associates. I'm also pleased to be here. We've been working with ARBA and with NMTA in looking at depreciation schedules. And Brenton, we really appreciate the opportunity to sit down with you and the other Department of Revenue staff to go over some of those issues. So I'd like to testify as well.
Very good. Trevor.
Yeah, thanks everyone. Trevor Justin, contract lobbyist, not formally representing ARBA yet, but we'll be doing work with them starting next month. So not testifying today, just listening in. Good to see everybody.
And Doug?
Yeah, good morning, everybody. I'm Doug Levy. I'm here in my role as state lobbyist for the Recreational Boating Association of Washington. And beginning in November, Trevor is going to overlap with me. And then beginning in January 2023, when I transition into a has-been, Trevor's going to be riding solo for the Recreational Boating Association of Washington. I do intend to testify this morning, Brenton, but I would like to make sure I go after our president, Bob Wise.
Okay, perfect. And Jay?
Hi, good morning, Trevor. Good morning, Trevor. Good morning, Brenton. Jay Jennings with Northwest Marine Trade Association. I want to commend the department for the dialogue that's taken place back and forth, and it's been good. I think NMTA and their over 600 members, many of whom are in manufacturing of boats and selling of boats, are particularly interested in this topic, particularly relative to other states, of course. But I also will note that I think part of the frustration is statutory, and that that when people hear depreciation schedule, they have something else in mind. Within the statute framework you're working from, I appreciate the willingness to go back and forth and make some changes. Thank you. Oh, and I'm not testifying. I am piggybacking on Doug Levy's testimony.
All right, perfect. Thank you, Jay. Bob?
Yeah, Bob Wise. I'm the president of the Recreational Boating Association of Washington, and I'm looking forward to testifying today about this depreciation schedule.
Excellent. And Julia.
Hi, my name is Julia Moya, and I am here on behalf of Yakima Nation. I will not be testifying. I am just here for informational purposes.
All right, thank you. I think that covers everybody. It does look like there is one more attendee from the Department of Revenue, and that is Justin Morehouse, who is also a tax policy specialist with the Interpretations and Technical Advice Division. Now that we've got introductions taken care of, I'll move forward. So the legal authority for this hearing is from Chapter 34.05 RCW, also known as the Administrative Procedures Act. This hearing was announced through publication in the Washington State Register as WSR 22-19-070 on September 19, 2022, and by notification to interested persons. The purpose of this hearing is to solicit comments from the public on the proposed amendments to WAC 458-20-23801, referred to in this hearing as Rule 23801. We will consider any comments received pertaining to the proposed Rule 23801. We appreciate receiving written comments and will evaluate all comments as we proceed with the rulemaking process. You may provide comments at this hearing, and you may also send written comments to my attention no later than Friday, November 4th, 2022. In this manner, the department can fully consider your comments before proceeding with future rulemaking activities. Now let me briefly outline the rulemaking process and where we are with respect to this rule. The first step in the process is to file a notice with the code reviser to announce a public meeting for solicitation of comments regarding the proposed changes. This is called a Form CR101 and is published in the State Register and announced through mailings to interested persons. The public meeting for this rule was held on July 19, 2022. The next step is to file a notice of proposed rulemaking with the code reviser to announce a public hearing on the proposed rule. This notice, called a Form CR102, is also published in the State Register and announced through mailings to interested persons. This is the public hearing. The purpose of the hearing is to receive further public comments regarding the proposed rule. All public comments will be fully evaluated as we proceed in the rulemaking process. Any comments received will be included in the permanent rulemaking file kept by the Interpretations and Technical Advice Division. The public hearing for this rule is being held today. The final step is to adopt the proposed rule. This is not a public process, but simply requires that we submit the final draft of the rule to the code reviser using a Form CR103 with the appropriate forms. The new rule, this rule, will be effective shortly thereafter and will be published in the Washington State Register. Before opening the hearing for comments, I will briefly outline and discuss the following. The department's Research and Fiscal Analysis Division, who is responsible for preparing the annual depreciation schedule values. Before we share the proposed values, I would like to point out the department is proposing an expansion of the schedule from 17 years to 25 years in light of not only data compiled by the Research and Fiscal Advice Division in preparation of the schedule for the upcoming year, but also in response to external stakeholder feedback. In addition, the department determined that the schedule should be reduced to two columns and that watercraft should be assigned to a particular column within the schedule based upon the length of a vessel rather than the vessel type. This proposal is based upon the department's own analysis of watercraft valuation, sales, and registration data, and in part on feedback received from external stakeholders as part of this ongoing rulemaking process. At this time, I will read the proposed depreciation schedule values for 2023. And so give me just a moment. All right, so the first column, sailboats, we are proposing to remove that column from the schedule. The second column was previously titled powerboats less than 30 feet. The schedule, we are proposing this column be retitled vessels less than 30 feet. And the so what I'll do is I'll just read year of ownership and then whether there was a change in the value. So there is no change for year one. For year two, the department is proposing a change to 0.85. For years 3 through 13, there are no proposed changes. Year 14, the proposed change is to 0.42. Year 15, the proposed change is to 0.40. Year 16, the proposed change is to 0.39. Year 17, 0.37, year 18, 0.35, year 19, 0.34, year 20, 0.33, year 21, 0.32, year 22, 0.31, year 23, 0.30, year 24, 0.29, and for years 25 or more, 0.28. The third column was previously titled Powerboats 30 feet or more. The department is proposing to retitle this column Vessels 30 feet or more. There are no changes to year one or year two. Year three, the value is 0.75. Year four, the value is 0.68. Year five, 0.63. Year six, 0.59. No change to year seven. Year 8, 0.53, year 9, 0.50, year 10, 0.48, no changes to year 11 or 12, year 13, 0.43, no changes to years 14 through 16, year 17, 0.41, year 18, 0.40, year 19, 0.39, year 20, 0.39, year 21, 0.38, year 22, 0.37, year 23, 0.36, year 24, 0.35, and for 25 or more years, 0.34. So, in compiling the proposed depreciation schedule values for this upcoming year, the Research and Fiscal Analysis Division relied on a combination of watercraft registration information obtained from the Washington State Department of Licensing for several recent calendar years, including 2017, 2018, and 2019, and on national watercraft valuation data obtained from Penton Media for recent calendar years covered in the March publication for 2017 through 2022. In addition to the proposed amendments discussed above, the department is also proposing an amendment to subsection 8 of the rule in order to clarify the statutory provisions concerning disputes that relate to a watercraft's taxability. The proposed amendments do not intend to represent a change in department interpretation or policy, but rather to clarify the existing statutory provisions for dispute resolution within Chapter 82.49 RCW. Okay, we will now proceed to the comment portion of this hearing. If you have a comment, please identify yourself again for the record and the organizations you are representing. We also appreciate receiving written testimony, and if you have written testimony, please email it to me so that it can become part of the formal rulemaking file. So at this time, I will open it up. All right, go ahead, Mark.
Well, I didn't want to go in front of the president. Mr. President, want to go first, or do you want me to?
Sure, I'm happy to go first. So good morning again. I'm Bob Wise here in my role as president of the Recreational Boating Association of Washington, and here to comment on the proposal for the depreciation schedule update for 2022. The first thing I want to do is start off by noting some things that we really appreciate, including the fact that the Department of Revenue has produced a fairly realistic schedule for those who have owned their vessels for 10 years or less. We also appreciate you now running the schedule out to 25 years for depreciation, and also dropping the previous idea of creating a separate category for sailboats apart from powerboats. These are all areas where DOR has shown flexibility and has been receptive to input from those doing a deep dive analysis of the depreciation schedule, including the subject matter experts at BST Associates, who have mined all of their data from Washington transactions. That said, we remain troubled by the depreciation schedule that shows a very minimal year-to-year reduction in value from years 15 through 25, flying in the face of our experience as vessel owners and the data presented by BST Associates. The Department of Revenue valuation rates for its depreciation schedule are nearly twice the level of the valuation rates recommended by BST. And again, I will point out that the BST data was all from Washington data, which we think is a unique environment for boats and depreciated values. All of this, though, has real-world ramifications for real boaters. We've heard from one recreational boater who saw his pre-2021 excise tax of $346 go to $593 after the 2021 updates were triggered, and that's an increase of more than 71%. Now, there's 250,000 recreational boaters in the state of Washington, so these calculations are going to affect tens, if not hundreds of thousands of boaters, something that we're very concerned about. Our urging is that we should agree on a system of depreciating vessel values that's fair and equitable for all. We grant that the language in the decades-old, likely outdated statute has hindered DOR, and we've offered to sit down with the department, engage in a genuine discussion, and offer that we make again today. Respectfully, I would suggest that having the DOR go into a room, come up with its valuation rates, hold a public hearing, and then publish its own final rates is not a true discussion. We need to sit down, get it right, agree on a system that's fair for all boaters, especially for those who have owned their vessels for many years and who know instinctively that these vessels lose a significant amount of value as they age. Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much, Mr. Weiss. And do you intend to also provide these comments in writing?
I certainly can.
Excellent. Thank you.
Happy to go if that's okay. Thank you. Mark Johnson, Senior Vice President of Policy and Government Affairs for the Washington Retail Association, also a proud partner with the Northwest Marine Trade Association and other recreational boating interests. So delighted to be here and couldn't agree more with the previous speaker's comments. And just to add a few more from Washington Retail and a broader perspective, Washington Retail and our members, we seek to have a more equitable system of determining the depreciation value of vessels under the watercraft excise tax. In particular, WRI members are concerned about the current approach for determining vessel values based on an inequitable process that looks at sales data versus evaluating the true and declining value of these assets. We believe the depreciation schedule should remain fixed over the ownership life of the asset and its declining value. And finally, we believe the state and the recreational boating sector should sit down and would be better served if we had an established depreciation schedule which mirrors those used for vehicles and which is administered by the Department of Licensing. Just from a personal point of view, Jay and I were bantering about boats, and I have a sailboat to which I know has plummeted in value over its ownership from its fine, loving owner, and I would be impacted by this as well. So appreciate the Department of Revenue holding this hearing and offer my comments for your consideration. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. And as with Mr. Weiss, do you intend to submit these comments in writing as well?
Maybe in a joint format with other stakeholders, okay. But not personally from my own there. But thank you.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Johnson.
Please call me Mark.
All right. Thank you, Mark.
Paul, do you want to go next?
Surely. Thank you. I'm Paul Sorensen, principal of BST Associates. I founded BST Associates in 1986, and our work focuses on the economic and financial conditions of the marine economy. Also, right now, I'm vice chair of the Northwest Marine Trade Association. Brenton, I wanted to tell you that I appreciated DOR staff discussing the depreciation schedule with us over the past few months. In particular, we appreciated extending the years of the schedule, incorporating sailboats in with powerboats for the appropriate lengths, and reducing the rates from the prior draft schedule. In our discussion with you and staff at DOR, we had some questions about the methodology for the analysis. There's no formal report to evaluate, but from our discussions with DOR, we understand the following steps in the process. DOR staff reviewed several DOL databases. It's unclear which years it was at that time, but you just mentioned it was 2017 through 2019. popular models then were selected from the sales in terms of the number of sales by boat type. The selection and the number of the models was unknown, how that process occurred. And then, as you mentioned, a national source was used to estimate the values, which included, as I understand, low and high values, possibly also average values, or they were calculated using the low and the high rates. And this informed the DOR depreciation schedule. Our concerns are just four bullets here. The last time the rates were changed was in 2011, which was a very bad year for sales coming off the recession in 2008. As a result, the depreciation rates at that time were low. This time, the depreciation rates are higher than 2011 because the market is much stronger. The rate schedule should take into account several years into consideration to reflect the up and down market conditions. And I think the example that was used about the increased rates that one gentleman had kind of illustrates this. So we recommend using numerous years. In our analysis, we used 2006 through 2021 to estimate the depreciation rate schedule using data from the Department of Licensing. Because there are concerns about the distribution of valuations, BST used the percent change in median values to inform the schedule. There's a lot of issues related to the sales values at the low end and at the high end, so the median is probably the most relevant statistic to use. We discussed this with the DOR staff, but it was unclear if that they modified their results with median values. It may have not been possible to do using the sources that they had. BST findings show that boat values continue to decline for several years. We went out to year 25 and they declined significantly. While DOR results keep valuations constant at 17 years. In our opinion, this should be modified and these considerations would create a more accurate depreciation schedule. Again, we thank you for considering our comments.
Thank you, Mr. Sorensen.
Well, and I'll jump in. This is Doug Levy, and I'm here in my role as state lobbyist for the Recreational Boating Association of Washington. I want to second the comments, Brenton, that you heard earlier from our president, Bob Wise. But where I really want to put my emphasis this morning is on respectfully urging a dialogue with Department of Revenue that goes beyond a rulemaking process, which I think just has inherent limitations. And I think in fairness to DOR, we've appreciated the relationship with Brenton and with Tina Poley and with others from DOR. But they're at a point where they're looking at a statute which is almost four decades old, which talks about forming a depreciation schedule based on a fair market value that cues off of a purchase price. We don't think that's the best way to put together a depreciation schedule. And so what we would suggest is that we get in a room with Department of Revenue. We think that's a lot more productive than just having one side or the other run to the Washington State Legislature. And what I'd share with DOR folks this morning is that we in the recreational boating community have ongoing dialogues with the likes of the Recreation and Conservation Office, which administers a number of grants in the state, and the Department of Natural Resources, which is in charge of thousands and thousands of acres of aquatic lands across the state of Washington. So there's definite precedence for agencies sitting down and working on developing policy and mutually agreeable policy with those folks in the recreational sector. As Mr. Wise said, you know, there are 250,000 registered boaters out there in the state of Washington. I think many of them are at a loss to understand the depreciation schedule that exists now because it doesn't look anything like what they see with automobiles. I think, again, in fairness to DOR, those same boaters are probably not terribly familiar with 8249040, but we are. And it seems like the time is ripe to have discussions with the agency. And again, in fairness to Brent and people like yourself and Tina, you have limitations on how much you can agree to at your level. And so that's why we feel like this should involve the DOR's executive team and leadership from the maritime and recreational boating organizations. We make that offer in good faith. We think it makes a lot of sense to sit down for several months well in advance of any legislative session where proposals would be brought forward. And we again ask that that occur. And, you know, we put forth that offer in writing. We reinforce it here. We've put a lot of questions to you all, and we'd like to get some responses back to those. And with that, I'll close my testimony. Happy to answer any questions.
Thank you very much, Mr. Levy. And before anyone else testifies, I will just say that with respect to the written comments that we receive and the testimony we receive, it may take us a little bit of time, but as has been the case with prior meetings and hearings for this rule, we will certainly reply in writing to the substantive comments. So I just want to let everyone know that those responses will be forthcoming. Thank you.
I'm sorry, this is Jay Jennings, Northwest Marine Trade Association again. Brenton, does that apply to the request for a meeting? Is that what? Or are you just talking about comments on the rule?
So I would say, I would say they're both connected. So if in writing there's a comment regarding a meeting to discuss beyond the rulemaking process this issue of the depreciation scheme, that we would reply on that request as well.
Thank you.
And if I could clarify, I think what we're asking for is more than a meeting singular. I think we believe this is something that should be an ongoing dialogue, because it will take some time. We're talking about unwinding a statute that's pretty old, and we're talking about a compare contrast with other ways of doing depreciation schedules. So that's normally going to take some time.
Thank you for that clarification. Do we have any other comments? All right, hearing none, I just want to again thank everyone for their participation in not only this rulemaking hearing, but the rulemaking activities of the last couple of years with respect to this rule. And as I've said before, those comments, those ideas, those questions, the department will bring back, take a look at, and involve, you know, the necessary levels of leadership, and then get back with a substantive response. And so it is helpful on our end to receive the comments in writing, because it allows us to have something more concrete to work off of. Certainly the oral testimony is helpful as well, but it's easier for us to work from the written testimony. But with that, so just thanking everybody again, I am going to go ahead and wrap up the formal hearing at this time. So the time is now 11:31 a.m. and the public hearing for Rule 23801 is now adjourned. Thank you, everybody.